Accession number 13361, Mr. K. Lodge, reel 10.
Mr. K. Lodge, reel 10. You had this long march to the next town, Mr. Lodge. Did they feed you and give you a drink?
No, we never got fed. We never got a drink.
Was it just the four of you still, or had a larger group?
No, there was much larger group by then. Possibly about a dozen.
And were
much
they
more.
Were they all Durhams?
Yeah. And as I say, we marched this day. We had our photo. The Germans were taking photographs. Maybe possibly cameramen, newsreels. I don't know. And we marched past a lot of Germans dug in all over the place. German tanks, Tiger tanks, and all this. And we finished up at Turnhout for the night in the castle. Turnhout, put us into this castle with a huge moat around it. They put her into there and they never even got fed. Not a thing.
And did you sleep where in the castle?
Up on the high up, on the top. And the German guards were walking around the outside and you couldn't put your head out of the window because if you did, they were shouting. Get in. I've been back to Turnhout since. I've got photographs of the castle.
Were there still just a dozen of you, or you met up with
others? There were increasing then, different regiments. There was a Royal Air Force pilot there had just been shot down, and he had some cigarettes. And he passed them all. He passed the other, I think it was 20 packet of players or something, and he passed them around. And he'd be lucky if he had one for himself. But he'd had just been shut down, Sergeant Pilot, fighter pilot. By then the numbers were increasing, yeah.
And had you sleep on the ground?
No. I'm not sure about it. I think we had beds, German beds of some kind. Germans might have been built in there, I don't know. It was just really for the one night.
And what about toilet facilities? Were you allowed out to?
Yes, they had the toilets was outside. I can't remember it. Go to the toilet, to be honest with you. But there were outside the German guards just to take you down. I don't know. They were in the building, so I don't know much about them, really.
Were these still German frontline troops that were guarding you, or had you been passed on to any other units?
Well, I would think maybe by then would have been passed on. I can't remember doing any change, like, not long ago, but possibly they would have done now. I wouldn't know about it.
This first night then in captivity, how were you feeling now?
Oh, rough. I was, you're thinking about what's going to happen. And, I'll not be writing home for a while, and
this bring you near to tears?
No, I wasn't near to tears, but you're very despondent. Like, it's like the end of the world, really. It's you're facing something entirely different, something new. And but there's one thing was always in the back of your mind. We knew we were winning the war. And with a bit of luck, the Irish could push through and could be away, you see. That was always in the back of your mind. The war wouldn't be lasting very much longer.
But no thoughts of escape early.
No, by escaping, there wouldn't be much chance of trying to escape with a British uniform, wouldn't there? escapes has got to be planned. No, I never, there was nobody made any attempt to escape me.
What was the morale of the whole lot of the men like? Were any of them showing signs of cracking up under this situation?
I never can't remember anybody actually cracking up or anything. They just made the best of it. That's all. Just hoping that they'll be released soon and we'll okay.
What happened the next morning then?
Well, the next morning we were put out of a truck.
Had they fed you? Did they give you any breakfast?
I think we had a drink of coffee, but nothing to eat. And I think we got out of a truck, and it's a bit complicated now because we were in Holland a few days. I'm not sure why we didn't get out of a train for so far, because I remember being on this train and the train stopping and the German guards jumping off and locking all the doors and running away because there was some Allied aircraft come over. Oh, we were all thinking, now what's this? Be the sitting target here. But anyway, there was nothing happened. And the guards all picked themselves up. You know, the Germans are just as frightened as anybody, you know. And they all come back in the train, and the train started up, and away. We went to, I don't know where we went to. You know, didn't seem to be on the train very long, like, and went to this camp. And it was like it was like a concentration camp to me, but it was in Holland, you know, not far from Arnhem, nearly onto the, you know, Arnhem wasn't all that far. And went into this camp, and it was run by the SS, and there were a lot of German SS women there. And as we were marched through the camp gates, they were all sniggering and laughing and making cracks like. And we were put there into these German billets. We were quite comfortable, like, actually. And we were quite well fed in this particular time. But there was Jews in the camp as well, labouring. That's the first time I ever saw a Jew in a striped uniform. And I didn't know, but we went up we should go up to Kukos for the rations. The Jews were working there, and they were pushing barrels and that, and one actually spoke to one or two of them, and they were telling us that they would keep taking them away from there, from the concentration camps and all that type of thing. And
did they look badly treated?
These Jews, no, they didn't. They didn't look any different. I think this was just a stepping up place for them. Like.
And you said you went up for the rations. How did they feed you?
But it wasn't too bad. But mostly soups you get. Soups or boiled potatoes and that type of thing. You know, maybe you get boiled carrots or boiled. But it was good, you know. It wasn't.
And
it
did
was
you
good to what we're going to get later?
Did you carry this back to your
back down to the barracks again? And then
were there any more of you by this time? Was this camp added other prisoners in?
No, we were more or less just the same. I don't know how many there was of by this time. I can't really put a figure on it. There was all sorts of regiment. I remember some East Yorks being there in Green Owens. They were on the same div.
You say that they were feeding you well. Other than that,
not well, but they were wasn't too bad.
But the treatment of you, were they rough towards you?
No, the SS didn't have anything to do with us. And there was some German intelligence officers used to come down and talk to them, and actually took stuff off her. I'd took my cigarette. I had a cigarette lighter, and I took that and lettuce. I still had some lettuce on the front home, but nobody took off us before. They took them, and we got a receipt. Strangely enough, they gave a receipt.
What kind of things were they asking you?
Wait, they weren't really asking. I can't remember exactly what they were asking, but they weren't like sort of important questions. I think they were more or less asking, you know, what we had on, you know, what we had letters and that. And they took them and they took away. I never got them back, and they would read them and that type of thing. But the only thing we ever said to anybody is, you know, more or less was your name, rank, and number. But I didn't know that at the time because somebody said that. Mine, just your name, rank, and number, you know. And anyway, these Germans, they were treated, in this particular place, we were treated quite well. And then we were in this camp when Arnhem started. And we saw them all come over. When was that? 70th September. I was captured on the 11th. And this was the 17th of September.
Did that give you hope? Did you think they were arriving to
free you? And the German guards were putting the rifles down. And they were standing under trees and looking up. Oh, what's this? And then they passed over. Couldn't hear anything. They? And next year, there's German officers came back again, and they told us there'd been an airborne landing in Arnhem, and they sort of expected the British Army would be following up, and they said, "Wait, well, you know, you're more or less free, you know, according to them." But they said, it would be better if you stopped here, because outside this camp, the SS, they're there and they'll shoot you on sight. So he says, we may as well hang on here. And then a deer went by, and the German guards come, and they rounded her up, and then we were marching along the road, and we're still dropping us in Arnhem. We were coming. I actually saw a glider shut down in the distance. I believe they were on the third day. The Polish and them was landing, but supplies were still going in. They were still in the sky. But these guards were marching us along the road. And I remember going over the bridge. I don't know what river it was. Went over this bridge, and then we went across another river or canal on a ferry, and this ferry was quite unique. All it was a pin in the middle of the river attached to a rope, and you stood on this flat barge. When you released the barge, the flow of the water, it just pivoted on this pin, and it took you across to the other side. I thought, well, these chaps know a thing or two, don't they? And now we got this, and we go along the road. We didn't know where we were going to. We were just marching away to one, and we were whistling. We were whistling in step, the man who broke the bank of Monte Carlo. The Germans told me, shut up. And then, we're marching, and then we got within a distance of Utrecht. And we had to halt outside Utrecht. And these German guards says, wait, the SS is going to take over now. These SS guards is coming for you. Oh, I wonder why.
Did you know of the SS reputation?
Well, I would well, the orders was the British Army want to shoot all SS. Anyway, we just sat there for about an hour or two. And these lorry came up, and these chaps got off, and they were dressed in sort of like jack boots, velvet trousers, a grey tunic, and they had like your Sam Brownie and everything in there. And they got everybody in their feet, right? Oh, real. You could see these, who want to be real nasty, they did these people, like, no messing about here. And then marsh, the tour of the marsh and the marsh. And we discovered why the SS took over, because we were going into Utrecht to stop for the night, and I think it must maybe be the only road round, I don't know many of you. They took me to Utrecht, but they were frightened of the people that was in Utrecht, which there was an underground movement there, and the thought of a get crowded up and possibly escape here. Anyway, the marching into Utrecht, and I'd never seen anything in my life. They would start firing. We come along one of the main streets, and they start firing at the people, because the people were coming in, you know, and they were, you know, putting the old V signs was going up. And
he's just shouting at you and making signs to you.
Yeah, I guess in the Germans was firing. And I said, well, what's going on here? And we got a bit farther along. We got across this canal, and it was facing down there. There was some people standing down there. And this German, he was an NCO, I think he was like a sergeant. He had a British Army stand gun. And these people were standing down there, and he put the stand gun up, and he fired, and the stand gun jammed. And this lad in front of me, he was our corporal, our section corporal. And he laughed, and this German NCO saw him, and he come over, and he hit him over the neck with a stand gun. Made him, you know. He was shouting, he was saying, "You're going laughing at me, you know." And he not blame him, and there's nothing we could do about it. And they were bawling and shouting, and you know, I just, oh, yeah.
What was the corporal's name?
I can't think of it. He didn't go with us on a D-Day. He was a chap that come on later. I can never think of his name.
Was he badly hurt?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't badly hurt. He was still able to manage some body bruise, though. He marked him across the neck and shoulders.
Did they hit any of the civilians they were firing at?
Well, I would imagine they did. So, yeah, I saw one bloke go off a bike. Whether he actually died off his bike, recovered, I said I don't know. There was someone in a shop, and some ran into a shop, and they start frying inside the shop. I don't know what happened inside the shop. Anyway, they kept the crowds back, and we got through. We spent a night in this, like, some sort of building. I don't know what to me. It stunk like horses. You think of that horses in. Anyway, we stopped there that night, and the next morning, the SS had gone. And some other guards, there we marching away again. We marched.
Did you get much opportunity with those kind of guys that were a bit more amenable to you to speak to them and talk to them?
No, we never talked because we didn't know what we were talking about. We didn't, you know, they didn't speak English, and we didn't speak German. We knew what marsh was. Marsh. See, I learned a bit German since then, you see. And I speak a little bit German, actually. And we got to know what marsh was and schnell was and quick and that type of thing. And then we got, eventually, we put on a train, a passenger train. And we took me to Germany down the scenic route, right down the Rhine. Went right down the Rhine. But we wasn't very interested. We went right down the Rhine, and I think we crossed the bridge, and come, if I'm not sure, we'd come back up the other side again. We went to Limburg.
So what conditions was the journey that you travelled in, you know, in the carriage or well, truck or whatever it was?
This particular journey, what we're travelling in, wasn't too bad. It was like a normal carriage, not corridored, just single carriage, you know, in one German guard in each compartment. And that already took my boots off her. All our boots was in a goods wagon at the back of the train. And we were just sat there in our stocking feet.
Food and water?
Didn't get fed, no. We had been fed different spells on the journey, understand. But never get any, maybe once a day, and that was it. And we just finished training. By this time now, man, we're riding with Arnhem prisoners, airborne. A huge amount of Arnhem paratroopers with us by then on this train. And they all had red berries, you know. They're dropping the red berries in Arnhem, you know. And all had the red berries on. And the jumping smocks and that. And I got a few hundred of them Arnhem people. And then we went, they took me to Limburg, Stalag 12 here. And the line were all up outside. And they were letting me go in and single file through the gates. And up to this time, I had me steel helmet with us. It was the only hat I had. I still had me steel helmet with the daylight badge on the side. And I threw it on the bottom. I said, well, that's no good to me now. There was a German soldier, picked it up. I saw him pick it up, and I was keep turning around to see what he was going to do with it. And he sort of strolled away with it, eh? He might still have it, I don't know. And some of the ideas might turn up. And we went to the Stalag 12 here, and there was all the huts was full of other prisoners of different nationalities. Like, and we were on big tents, massive big tents being put up. Just on there, wet ground and clots, you know. Mud, bit of straw down. One or two blankets if you were lucky to grab one. I had a blanket for about 10 minutes. Then I got up and I come back and I'd gone. And we were just bedded down on this thing. If you go through a delousing process, you know, you have to go in for a shower and take all your clothes off you, and they're supposed to be deloused and all that type of thing, and they give you them back, and then still didn't get anything to eat. But what they did feed her on, we could have done without, because what they fed her on there was boiled mangels, which is unfit for human consumption, and they only fed to cattle. You know what a mangle is? They did them in. They were like in shreds. Just look, they were all shredded. And it wasn't the one. It's horrible, absolutely horrible. You couldn't eat it. And if you did eat it, everybody had the diarrhea. It was terrible. And then give us some tea, like the Germans call it, mint tea. You know, it was like a sweet, you know, didn't taste like our tea. Like,
then we were in. Did you get bread?
Bread was, we had a bit of bread. There were 7 men to 1 loaf. That's what you got. 7th of 1 loaf.
What condition was that bread in?
It was like what we call a German military loaf, the square loaf, which is like, it's soggy. It's made out of. The record I don't. The record was made out of potatoes and all sorts. It was supposed to be good, like the German. It was a German army issue. And you've got pieces only about, what, 1.5 inches thick or something? 2 inches maybe at the most per day.
How many meals a day did you get?
Just one. And, also in this camp, there were some Americans in this as well. And it was absolutely terrible in this camp, 12 here. I remember the toilets, all what the toilet was. It was just like a 12-inch pipe sticking out of the ground. You know, like in rows, and you just sat on this 12-inch pipe. Well, it was always full, so you could never get in. And the Germans, every morning, used to swill it up with a hose pipe. And if you were still in there when the Germans come in on the morning with the hose pipe, a high-pressure hose, and they used to shout, "Raus!" Whether you were in or out, that hose to just turn it on, and they just laughed, you know, it was a joke to them to knock you off your feet with this high-powered hose and swill it out the door. That was a joke to them, they'd swill it all down, and the toilet was always blocked up. They used to have a milking cow pulling a cart. It was black and white freezing. And there was Russian prisoners there as well in this camp, and that was their job. They used to, the toilet was like a huge sump, and it was pumped out into this cart by the Russians, and this cow took it away, and one of them took it away. But used to stink, oh. It was terrible. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I felt horrible. You know, eating boiled mangoes in this tea, oh dear.
How did your health go then with the time you were there?
Well, fortunately it didn't last very long. But had it done, if it kept on like that, would have been very, very poor indeed. And I would maybe be there, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe at the most.
How did they actually treat you in the camp then? Were they harsh with you?
Some of them were. You know, every guard was different. There was one guard, I remember, he was pretty trigger happy. He wouldn't think anything of firing a shot. There was one, there was one shot coming through the tent. I heard it come through the tent and actually hit somebody. You know, just so the Germans shout at you. You know, I remember one day that the toilet was blocked up and the Germans got this brand new hose out. Brand new hose. And rather dropped this hose on the bottom, which is very muddy, you know. Must have been having a lot of rain. Anybody that was standing around, they said, "Right, get a hold of the hose now, to hold it off the ground to keep it clean." And this German sergeant was shouting the eyes and shouting me to get a hold of this hose. Me and I didn't hear him. I went in, stole away to my tent, and he come tearing after us, and he grabbed hold of me. "House! Get out there, boys, and I'll tell you to do something you don't." Then he made me bend down and pick this hole on a hole like this. And we had a hold of maybe for about half an hour or something while he did this job, you know. Yeah, and then had to get the water out and fold it all up again.
Was there any kind of organisation within the camp and amongst the prisoners?
Not in this camp, but there were in in the more established camps. There was definitely. And we went from this camp 12A to Stalag 4B. That was round about Magdeburg area, round that area.
About what time would this be?
This was be about October now, I would think. And our transport from Limburg to Stalag 4B was cattle trucks. And we were pushed into these cattle trucks, which were overcrowded. And they only had a toilet facility, it was just a pail. And we never got fed there either. Till they felt like it. But once gave us some Limburg cheese, and me were dead thirsty, and we were all shouting for water. But we were on these in these car trucks for 2 or 3 days because you used to just put her into a siding and leave her there till had a miner come along and hang on again and take you somewhere else. How do you?